Glad you're here today. We are looking at a new series started last week, Hearing from God. Do you want to know how to hear from God? Well, some people think that's sort of spooky, and they're not sure they like that. But we'll look at it so you can make your own mind up. First slide there has a quote from Jesus, John chapter 10. "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them. They follow me." Did Jesus expect us to be led by listening to him? He said, "If you're my sheep, you'll hear my voice." Shepherding back in their day, back in Israel about the time when Jesus was there, was a little different, I guess, than today. Shepherds had a little more personal relationship, I guess, with the sheep. They would go into the sheep fold. They'd put them in a fold at night, sometimes with other flocks. There'd be several flocks in there. And so the shepherd comes in the next morning to take his sheep out, put them in there to save them from predators. And according to John chapter 10, you can read it for yourself. In John 10, he talks about that there's a gatekeeper, and the gatekeeper, you know, keeps the thief out and that sort of thing. But he says, "My sheep hear my voice." When he says that, he's talking about the idea of shepherds in that day would actually walk into a sheepfold. The gatekeeper would let them in, and a particular shepherd, there might be four different flocks of sheep in there. But he walks in, the shepherd has a unique way to whistle or a word to say. And, you know, your grandma probably did that, calling the chickens, right? Chick, 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 chick. You know, the chickens would come. Well, shepherds did that too. And when the sheep heard the shepherd's voice, they would respond. Not every sheep in the fold would respond, but just the ones that were his. And they would respond, and they'd follow him. He'd walk out. They just followed him like puppy dogs, followed him down the road and out to the pasture and wherever else they were going, by the quiet waters too, I bet. So Jesus is making an illustration of that, saying, "My sheep," he's talking about us, right? "My sheep hear my voice. My sheep hear my voice," he says. "I know them, and they follow me." For a minute, we need to clear some things up. Not clear them up, but we need to remind you of some things, I guess, that when you talk about hearing from God, what are you not talking about? What I'm not talking about is hearing voices in your head. If you're hearing multiple voices in your head and they don't sound like you, you need to go get checked out. You need to say, "I need some help." Literally. There are medical names for that, right? And some people commit crimes because God told me to. No, God didn't tell you to do that. You heard voices. I'm not talking about that. Hearing from God is not that. Hearing from God is not just hearing voices. Hearing from God is not seeing angels or having visions that tell you to do things that aren't according to God's word. Everything you hear and see should be checked out with this. If it contradicts this, put it aside and forget it. It's not from God. God will never contradict his own word, will he? So, if you're hearing something, you see an angel, we'll talk about that in a minute as we get into an illustration here, but angels, sometimes they talk to people, but they're not God. And the only thing they can tell you is what God says. Now, if they tell you something else, the Bible says the devil can masquerade as an angel of light. So how do you know the difference? Well, if he says something, this angel says something to you that's not in his word, forget it. You just say, "No, I'm not listening to that. Go away." So it's not angels and visions that tell you things that aren't God's word. Nothing will contradict the word of God that you hear that's really God, because he won't contradict himself. God does not let you hear from him so you can write a new book of the Bible. It's already been done, right? The Bible is complete. He's not going to give you a revelation to say, "I want you to add a chapter to the book of Romans." You say, that's not God. His word is his word. And it's been here 2,000 years, roughly. And he's not going to give you a 2.1, right? Bible 2.0. He's not going to do that. So don't listen to anything that's against this word. That's not what I'm talking about when I say you can hear from God. You're not getting revelation of a new book of the Bible. There are false religions today that got started, more than one, many of them that got started because somebody saw an angel or somebody had a vision and they started this thing, and they even write their own Bible. Tell you don't need this. Or you can read this, but read ours too, because our prophet wrote something else, right? Not going to happen. Jesus said they follow who? They listen to many voices. Is that what he said? Multiple voices? No. They listen to my voice. So get comfortable with that and say, I want to hear his voice. In fact, I need his voice to give me some guidance. Do you think we need guidance from God? I think so. So, you'll see the next slide. Why is it important to hear from God? Why is hearing from God so important? Well, it's hearing from God in several ways we'll talk about, but it's important because hearing from God protects you from disaster. It protects you from, does God know the future? He knows the future. Can he guide you away from bad things and into good things? Yes. He wants to do that. That's how Jesus operated. He said several times in the Gospel of John, he said, I only say what I hear my Father say. Well, where was he hearing it? Not with these ears. He was hearing it in here, in his spirit, in his heart. I never say anything that I don't hear my Father say. If we could do that, it would clean up our speech tremendously. Church splits come out of talk. Divorces come out of talk. Losing your job can come out of talk. If we hear from him and say what he says that's in here, then you won't go wrong. I'll show you a couple of illustrations. The first one here, and if you have a Bible handy, I hope you do. I hope you brought one. There probably one in the pew if you didn't. 1 Kings chapter 13. A neat story, unusual story of a man who heard from God. 1 Kings chapter 13, beginning in verse 1, by the word of the Lord, how? By the word of the Lord, a man of God came from Judah to Bethel as Jeroboam was standing by the altar to make an offering. Now, you got to know a little background. But it's coming up from Judah. We would say up. It's actually down the mountain into Bethel. But he's coming, a man of God that's not from their region. He's got another assignment, but God assigned him to go up and talk to this king because the king had done something. Jeroboam, this king here, Jeroboam, was a man who led a rebellion against the house of David after David died, and I believe after Solomon died, he led a rebellion. So they had a civil war. At that point, Israel had a civil war like we had a civil war in America, North and South. Well, ours didn't end well. I mean, it got solved, but it was terrible. Hundreds of thousands of people died. Same thing in Israel. It wound up with a split. So the nation was divided in two. So you had one king named Rehoboam down south, and he had a king named Jeroboam up in the other areas. And Jeroboam said, you know, if we don't do something, all our people are going to go back down to Jerusalem to worship. We don't want them to go back down to Jerusalem to worship. So let's fix that. King, he said, let's build our own worship site up here where we are. And so he did, and he got two golden calves and brought, does that ring a bell? That goes way back, doesn't it? They got in trouble with that once before. So he said, let's get some golden calves, bring them up here, they'll worship them here, and we'll say, these are your gods. These are your gods. Why was God sending a prophet from Judah up to talk to this king? Oh, things weren't going well. Haywire. So look at what the prophet from the man of God, he's called the man of God from Judah. Would you like to be called a man of God or a woman of God? Wouldn't you want people to know you as that woman from God? She's a woman of God. He's a man of God. That's quite a title. This young man heard from God, and he cried out against the altar, verse 2, by the word of the Lord. Oh, altar, altar, this is what Jehovah says. A son named Josiah will be born to the house of David. On you he will sacrifice the priests of the high places who now make offerings here, and human bones will be burned on you. What did the prophet say? He said, oh, there's another king coming behind you, and he's going to straighten everything out. And he did. Josiah, the boy king, became king when he was about 9 years old. And after he got a little experience, he turned the nation around back to God, brought a revival. So the prophet said, there's coming another one. He's going to straighten you out. And then he says, this is a sign, verse 3. The same day the man of God gave a sign. This is a sign Jehovah has declared. The altar will be split apart and the ashes on it will be poured out. When King Jeroboam heard what the man of God cried out against the altar at Bethel, he stretched out his hand from the altar and said, seize him. Arrest that prophet. But the hand he stretched out toward the man shriveled up. Watch out. It's like, whew. God said, you're not going to stop the man of God. Hand shriveled up so he couldn't pull it back. Also, the altar was split apart. Its ashes poured out according to the sign given by the man of God by the word of the Lord. So everything came true, right? And then the king's got a withered hand. The king said to the man, intercede with Jehovah for me, your God, and pray for me that my hand may be restored. So the man of God interceded with the Lord. And the king's hand was restored and became as it was before. Well, that guy's got some respect, didn't he? I'm sure around that area. Then it says, the king said to him, come on home with me to eat dinner. Let's eat together. Notice what the man of God said. Verse 8, even if you were to give me half your possessions, I would not go with you. This prophet talking to the king. Give me half what you got, I will not go. I can't do that. I would not go with you, nor would I eat bread or drink water here, for I was commanded by the word of the Lord, you must not eat bread or drink water, return the way by the way you came. He said, I want you, the Lord, Jehovah said to the prophet before all this started, go down there and say this. And then he said, when you get through, don't stop and eat with anybody. Don't drink any water. Don't even come back home the way you went. Those were his orders, right? Word of the Lord. That's the way you're going to do it. So, verse 10, he took another road and did not return the way he had come to Bethel. Now there was a certain old prophet living in Bethel whose sons came and told him all that the man of God had said and done. Father said, which way did he go? Verse 12, uh-oh, trouble. The old prophet said, where'd that young man go? He didn't know the story, and they told him the story of what they had seen, that the altar split open, that the king's hand withered, and then it got healed. And the man said, oh, I can't eat or I can't drink. I got to go back. Different way. They told their father. The father said, which way did he go? And his son showed him. So he got on his donkey and he headed out. He rode after him, verse 14, found him sitting under an oak tree. Are you the man of God who came from Judah? I am. Verse 15, so the prophet said to him, come on with me. The old prophet said, come on back. Just come back and let's eat. I mean, I'm a prophet, you're a prophet. Come back and we'll eat. Man of God said, I can't. I cannot. Well, he's sticking to his guns, isn't he? I can't do that. I can't go back with you. I can't eat bread or drink bread or eat water or however with you in this place. I have been told by the word of the Lord, you must not eat bread or drink water there or return by the way you came. The old prophet said, now listen to this. The old prophet said, I too am a prophet. Oh, don't swallow that one. When somebody pulls some credentials on, who says they're a prophet? Did God tell you they're a prophet? I too am a prophet, as you are. And an angel said to me, an angel said to me, by the word of the Lord, bring him back with you to your house so he may eat bread and drink water. But he was lying. There are lying spirits all around us. Be careful. This is why it's so vital for you to be in a good relationship with your Bible. This is not optional, dear Christian. It's not optional. Spending time in His Word is not optional. You can lose your soul by ignoring this. We read a chapter together 6 days a week. Don't we? In Genesis right now, just read something. Put your head in this book and read something. So, I don't know. I don't read well. Sorry. Figure it out. People are dying for the faith right now in other parts of the world. You can't spend a few minutes reading the Bible? Come on. An angel told me, trouble usually starts with that, doesn't it? Quite often it does. But he was lying to him, verse 19, so the man of God returned with him and ate and drank. Which voice was he listening to? At first he was listening to God. Now what's he listening to? Another voice. He bought it, hook, line, and sinker. Listening to the wrong voice. Disobeyed God because he was listening to the wrong voice. He went back. It didn't go well. You probably figured that out, right? It didn't go well. You can't ignore God's word and have things go well for you. He cried out to the man of God who had come from Judah. They went to eat, sitting at the table. And the old prophet had a revelation, a real one this time. This is what the Lord says. You have defied the word of God and have not kept the command the Lord your God gave you. You came back and ate bread and drank water in the place where he told you not to eat or drink. Therefore, your body will not be buried in the tomb of your fathers. You're not going to get a good Christian burial. You're going to die right here. When the man of God had finished eating and drinking, the prophet, isn't that funny now how people will mislead you? If you listen to them, they'll mislead you and then say, oh, well, I'm sorry. God just told me this. I told you that, but that was wrong. God told me this now. Shouldn't be listening to them anyway, should you? Misled him. Verse 23, when the man of God had finished eating and drinking, the prophet who had brought him back saddled his donkey for him. He felt bad about this, I guess. Went on his way, a lion met him on the road and killed him. The man of God from Judah killed him. And his body was thrown down on the road, both the donkey and the lion standing beside it. You don't believe this was from God? God allowing it. The lion didn't eat the body and didn't even eat the donkey. Didn't attack the donkey. Verse 25, some people passed by and saw the body thrown down there with a lion standing beside the body, and they went and reported it to the city where the old prophet lived. When the prophet who had brought him back from his journey heard of it, he said, it is a man of God who defied the word of the Lord. How did he defy the word of the Lord? Listened to the wrong voice. We need to shut off some of our TV and devices and internet and social media and say, okay, I'm not today, I can't take that. I've got to isolate myself. I've got to fast from the news for a while. If you can't spend time alone with God, you're always going to be uncertain of your Christian life and where to go and what to do. Why is it so valuable to hear from God? Keeps you out of trouble. Didn't it keep him out of it? First it kept him out. He did amazing. That young prophet did amazing things. And now he's in deep trouble. That's why it's important. That was the question, right? Why is hearing from God so important? You learn from his lesson, don't we? So basically they picked up the body and gave the man the best burial they could and honored him a little bit, but they had already ruined his life, right? Think of all the things that young prophet could have had ahead of him if he had listened to God, and he turned down the king, but he wouldn't turn down a fellow prophet because he thought the prophet heard from God. Misled him. What could that young man have been if he had turned down the prophet too and gone back the way he was? You would have heard more from him, right? God would have spoken to him more and more. Do you want to hear from God? Here's a big, it's not even on the screen here, not going to be on it. Here's a big secret to hearing from God. Big secret. Don't let it go over your head. When you hear from God, even in the Bible, especially in the Bible, when you hear from God, do what He tells you to do. Just do what He tells you to do. But it's hard. I don't like going to apologize to people. Do what He tells you to do. If you want to hear from God. Because He's not going to... You ever heard somebody say that they'll tell somebody, two people be talking about, I need to go tell her something. I'm going to try to get things right with her. And they'll say, don't waste your breath. What does that mean? They're not going to listen to you. They're not going to change. They're not going to listen to you. Just don't waste your breath. You ever heard anybody holler, I've told you 1,000 times. Well, it's obviously not working then, is it? It's obviously it's not working. You told them 1,000 times. So try something else. Maybe pray for them. That might help. So, here's another one. Why is it so important hearing from God? Now, this one I'll cut a little short because about 2 weeks ago we had a lesson on 9 different times that King David heard from God. He wasn't king when he started, but... And I got the sheet there back there in the foyer. So many scriptures on here, I think we went through them quickly that day. You might want them on a piece of paper. It's not, the pages are not numbered, but the slides are. It starts with number 12, slide number 12. Pick one up out in the foyer. You can, and I'll allude to one of these. But if you want all these, take them home with you and read those. 9 different times it talks about David, 2 Samuel chapter 5. It talks about David hearing from God. He would inquire of the Lord. Why was David inquiring of the Lord? He got the right answer 9 times in a row in this reading. He got the right answer 9 times in a row. It saved his hide more than once. Every time he listened to God, it saved him some trouble. And so it gave him victories in battle. This man's in battle. His life is in danger. He's risking the lives of all of his men. And he's out there in battles all the time. And he always stopped and inquired of the Lord. And he asked, should I go up here and do this? Most of the time God said yes. But there was this last time, and it's in 2 Samuel chapter 5, verse 17, following, where he... let me just read some of it to you. 2 Samuel chapter 5. He asked God, he's inquiring, should he go to battle again with the Philistines? And he says in verse 19... Or verse 17, when the Philistines heard that David had been anointed king over Israel, they went up in full force. They're going to knock him off his throne. But David heard about it and went down to the stronghold. Now the Philistines had spread out in the valley of Rephaim. So David inquired of the Lord. What did he say? Lord, what should I do? Lord, what should I do? Shall I go and attack the Philistines? Will you hand them over to me? The Lord answered him, go, for I will surely hand the Philistines over to you. So that battle, he won that battle. Verse 22. Once more the Philistines came out and spread out in the valley of Rephaim. So David inquired of the Lord, and he answered, do not go. The Lord said, don't go straight up. Every other time God had said, go for it. This time God said, see, that's the key. You keep listening and you keep listening. This time God said, no, don't go head on. Don't go straight up. But circle around behind them and attack them in front of the balsam trees. As soon as you hear the sound of marching in the tops of the balsam trees, move quickly, because that will mean the Lord has gone out in front of you to strike the Philistine army. So David did that and he won the battle. So what did God say this time? Don't go straight. Go around this way. Go around behind them and wait. Waiting is hard sometimes, isn't it? You want an answer and you want it now. Okay, so they marched out and they went and snuck around behind and they're waiting. When they hear the wind in the tops of these trees, what that says is God moves supernaturally some of His forces. Does God have chariots of fire? Does God have angelic warriors? God positioned His warriors and He said, all right, go, David. God told him, wait till you get supernatural help, then go. Why was David always inquiring of the Lord? Because he wanted to get it right. And he did not want a bunch of his men killed unnecessarily. And he didn't want to die himself in battle. And he wanted to win the battle because he's king now and he has to win battles. And he knew God had assigned him to do that and he wanted to do it. Oh, we got to listen to God. We have to listen. It's not weird voices in your head. This is in your heart. You hear things. A lot of you know what that is. I'll give you a quick key. If you have ever heard your conscience, I hope you have. Ever heard your conscience? Is it a loud voice? Not really. It's just this little thing in here that says, nah, you need to straighten that out. And it pressures you a little bit, doesn't it? And you say, I don't want to have to do that. And if you push it long enough, Paul said your conscience will get seared with a hot iron. It's like calluses. If you reject God's word again and again and again, your conscience develops calluses and you can't hear anymore. And you wonder why God doesn't lead you. And I prayed and I still got in a mess. Why? Because you weren't listening. And sometimes we pray and we wait and listen and we get tired of listening, so we go ahead and do something anyway and then regret it. So David inquired of God often. Often he did, and he got the specific answers like, go here and wait for this. Specific. Is God specific? Does God know the specifics? Yes, he does. All right, so another issue here, the next slide, then why do some never hear from God? Why do some people just never hear from God much? You may be sitting here today and say, well, you know, that's me. I didn't know I'm supposed to hear from God. I didn't know you could hear from God. Why do I not hear from God more? I try. Matthew 13, I believe, is the next one. Is that right? Matthew 13. I don't have time to really develop this one, but we will come back to it later probably. But Matthew 13, Jesus has told the parable of the sower. Man went out to sow seed. Well, he didn't have tractors back in that day, so he took the seed in a bag and he was scattering it by hand. And the seed went everywhere. And some of it landed on the path that people took into the field, and it didn't produce anything because the ground was too hard, like concrete almost. Some of the seed fell on rocks, rocky places. It didn't grow either. And then some of the seed fell among thorns, and the thorns choked it out. And then another one some of the other seed fell on, the last part fell on good ground, and it produced a crop. And then everybody wondered, what in the world was Jesus talking about? Even the disciples. What was that about? They saw that stuff every day. He told them an obvious thing. They saw it every day. It's like, what was that all about? Notice his answer is intriguing, and it's a little chilling. It's a little chilling. Verse 10. The disciples came to him and asked, why do you speak to the people in parables? Parables. I always thought parables were to help you understand. Jesus said, they're not. Some of them do, but this one was to sort out the real listeners. Well, I don't go to church much. I just don't get nothing out of the sermons. Read my Bible. I don't read the Bible much. I try to read it, and I don't even understand it. I don't even understand it, so I gave it up. What does that mean? They said, why don't you just tell them what you want to tell them? Just be up front and tell them. Why are you talking circles? Why are you talking parables? What was his answer? The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, disciples, the 12 and the other disciples, but not to them. 3/4 of the people that heard that parable didn't get a thing out of it. Some of them got excited a little bit about it. but when he explains what it meant, he's talking about the Word of God is the seed. And we're spreading the Word. We're spreading the seed. And a lot of people hear it and don't have a clue what it means. Some people hear it, and they get a little bit excited about it, but, you know, then they don't have any roots, so it dies off. And some people hear the Word, and they have good intentions, but their life is so crowded with thorns and thistles and cares of this world, deceitfulness of riches, that it just doesn't produce fruit. And then that last group, they heard that Word, and they saw how valuable it was. You ever heard stories of people going to a rummage sale? And they go to a rummage sale, and everybody's looking. And I know things have made the news before, pretty big stories. And one man went to a rummage sale, and he was looking around. He saw an old painting. He didn't really like the painting, but he liked the frame. And he gave him $10, I think, for the frame. And got it home and decided he wanted to put his own picture in it, some of the pictures he had. So I'm going to take the old picture out. I don't really want the picture anyway. It wasn't very good. He opened the frame, got the frame apart, and took out that picture. And there was another one behind it. And the other one behind it looked real interesting. So he said, this might be something. So he took it to a friend of his, a guy that knew a little bit, a pawn shop, knew a little bit about stuff kind of like that. And the guy said, you ought to have this appraised. And he went and had it appraised. I think it was $1 million painting from some famous artist. And we all daydream about stuff like that, but that really happened to a couple of people in two different incidents. People hear the Word of God and they don't honor it. It just doesn't matter. Just the Bible, I know. We're supposed to go by the Bible, I know that. I'm supposed to go to church, I know that. If you can be like this last group, they latched on to it. This is what I've been looking for. I've had those moments. I had those moments early on in my Christian life. This is what I've been looking for. This is what I've been looking for. And you grasp it. You say, I want to know more. I want to know more. Instead of saying, I don't understand it, I want to understand it. I crave to understand it. I crave to hear the voice of God. So Jesus said, there's a reason. There's a reason that I don't throw my pearls before swine. Why did he say that? You throw pearls in a pig pen, what's going to happen? One of them's going to pull out an eyepiece and look at it like a jeweler. No. What's a pig going to do? Trample it. Some of them might try to eat the pearls and spit them out or swallow them, and they're destroyed. So Jesus didn't throw his pearls before swine. He told parables. And in the parables, he said, did you get it? The disciples one time said, could you explain that to us? And they later in this chapter, I think, he explained it to them. The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom, this is Matthew 13, verse 11, knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away. This is why I speak in parables. What's he saying? You, my disciples, you got some of this. I'm going to give you more. Why? Because you'll use it. You'll crave it. You'll desire it. Those people out there that don't care, they don't honor the Word of God, they don't honor the assembly, they stay in the dark. If you don't want it, this is a closed book. That's why a lot of Christians even don't understand the Bible, don't read it much. It is a closed book unless your heart is right. God's not going to pound you over the head with it. He's not going to make you take it. He's not going to force feed you with it. But He looks for that heart that says, I want to know. I want to know Him. I want to know His voice. Start here if you want to know His voice. If you say you want to hear from God, but you won't read the Bible, that's just not right. You're just not telling the truth. If you don't have time to read the Bible, He's not going to talk to you much. Maybe in a great crisis, He might say something just to save your hide. But so the question was, why some never hear from God? Well, I never hear from God. I don't ever hear from God. All these preachers say they hear from God. I don't ever hear from God. Wonder why. Anybody can hear from God that wants to. What's the rest of this? Verse 13, this is why I speak in parables. He's quoting Isaiah now. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. They see it, but they don't get it. They hear it, but they don't get it. They don't understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. You will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused. Callous is on your heart, not the blood pump. Callous is on your spirit, on the inner being. Calluses. Then he says, they hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see and see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand and with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. What's his point? Isaiah's talking about people in his day. God told Isaiah to go preach to Israel, and he told Isaiah what to say, and you know what Isaiah was supposed to say? Same thing. You people are hearing, but you're not really listening. Isaiah was a prophet of, in some ways, a prophet of destruction. The whole nation was eventually going to be destroyed after Isaiah's day because they quit listening to God. They stopped listening, and God stopped talking. So when they quit listening and God stopped talking, their destiny was sealed. They had no recourse but to worship other voices. And they began to worship other voices, idols, golden calves. And they lost everything. Why do some people not hear from God? In Matthew's account and in Isaiah, we find out the bottom line is they don't hear from God because they don't want to. Their heart is not eager to hear from Him. Why is it important to hear from God? Well, if you crave the presence of God, if you really want God in your life, He's waiting. He is eager to be in your life, but He will not force Himself on you. So if you want God, you want the Father in your life, along with that presence in your life comes His voice. His voice is part of Him, right? When couples meet, and a young girl, young boy meet, and they want to strike up a relationship, usually what happens is there's a lot of talking going on. Because love makes you want to talk and hear the other person. I want to understand who he is. I want to find out who she is. If you really love God with all your heart and you want God and you want God in your life, you want his voice, don't you? I'll give you one quick one here. If you got something to write on, you might go write them down. Basics of hearing God. Here's some basics of hearing God. Just go through them one at a time there. An interest in the Bible. You got to have that or you're not going to hear from God. An interest in the Bible. You say, I want to know it. I want to start reading it. What's the next one? A serious prayer life. Where's God going to talk to you? In your heart? Your spirit? So if you're spending quiet time with Him, that's where you hear. You don't hear in the thunder of the lightning. You don't hear words scrawled across the sky, you hear it in your heart. Next one. You must have a desire to know Him and hear Him. Next one. A willing heart. A willing heart. A willing heart's important. I heard a preacher say, Keith Morey has a church up in Branson, Missouri, and one in Florida. He's done a lot of study on hearing from God, and he said, a willing heart makes a hearing ear. A willing heart makes a hearing ear. If you're not willing, God's not going to talk to you. If you're not seeking Him, He knows you don't want it. He's not going to give pearls to swine. He's not going to throw stuff to you that you don't want. Till you develop the desire, you got to have a willing heart. I think there's one more on there, isn't there? One more. a decision to be Spirit-led. Are your decisions important? A quality decision. Most people have toyed with people that have a lot of drug addictions. I know people that have been through rehab 6-7 times, never got over it. But that last one, I've had them tell me, that was it. I was down to the bottom. It was like I couldn't go any lower, and I thought, I cannot live like this anymore. A quality decision that says, I'm done living the way I've been living. I want something better for myself and my family. I'm giving it up. I'm going to follow God. I want to hear from God. It's got to be that quality decision, hasn't it? So that might help a little bit on hearing from God. You have heard His voice before. You may not realize it. If you're a Christian and a born-again believer today, you've heard His voice. Romans chapter 10. It's not on the screen. You just have to write it down and read Romans 10. But it talks a lot about Romans chapter 10. With heart, the person believes, and with the mouth, they make confession. So where does it start? In your heart. And then it says later in that chapter, faith comes by what?
Hearing.
So your belief came from hearing something. You heard from God. No, it was a preacher. It was a preacher preaching. Well, you heard from God. God told him to say some things, and you heard it. Well, I just picked up my Bible one day. Well, you heard from God, didn't you? I read this little Christian tract, and it got me interested in being a Christian. Well, you heard from God. You've all heard from God, especially if you're a Christian today. Maybe you've heard from God, and you've been denying it. You might want to check up on that and say, maybe I need to go back to that again. Last slide. The Lord opened Lydia's heart. What? What did the Lord do for Lydia? We're going to pray over this book, by the way. He did what? He opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. Paul was preaching the gospel, and Lydia heard from God. It just opened her heart. She said, I need this. I need what this man's saying. He's telling the story of Christ. And she said, I need that. I want that. Turns out she had a house church in her own house, and she put Paul and was it Paul and Silas? He put others up, and Philippi, the Philippian area, wound up with a church because she opened her heart. God opened her heart. Didn't say she opened it. Said God opened it. God spoke to her, and she listened, didn't she? Father, we are asking for these folks in this notebook. We pray for them every time we come together. We pray for all these names, 32 pages of names. Individuals that need to hear from you. They need to hear from you. They are not yet believers, not Christians. We're praying for them that they will open their heart, that their heart will be opened by your message, like we just read about Lydia. That you open their hearts, Father. That if they've strayed away from the kingdom of God, that you'll open their hearts to come back. Bring them back, Father. You are always speaking, but we're not always listening. Help us, Father, especially those in the notebook there. Help us and them too, that we will start listening and eagerly seeking you out and what your desire is for us. And we thank you that you're helping us with that right now today. In Christ's name, amen.